Hello, my name is Norman Jackson. I'm the Director of Surrey Centre for Excellence in Professional Training and Education at the University of Surrey. I'm talking to Professor John Cowan about some of his experiences in engaging students in learning, something that John has been passionate about for over 40 years. John is well known in UK higher education as an expert teacher who has thought deeply about his practice. He is, if he doesn't mind me saying, a wise old owl. He's also an expert storyteller, and he's kindly agreed to let us record some of his stories so that other higher education teachers might benefit from his experiences and insights.
I did an action research project with a tutor in social sciences in the OU. She marked her assignments in the usual way and put comments on them, and then she gave them to me as a postman, and I took them back directly to the students. The students had been warned this was going to happen. The comments were all numbered, and we used a technique called Kelly's repertory grid to get them to identify what qualities in the comments they found significant and useful to them. And at the end of that inquiry, one of the things I asked the student as a message to carry back to the tutor was, what kind of comment is most useful to you? And roughly half of the students said to me, the kind of comment that's useful to me is where the tutor tells me not that something is good or well done, but what it was that made it good, or what it was that made her say that it was well done. So I would rather have one comment that was explained, why was this a good explanation, rather than six comments that said good explanation or well made point. Tell me what it was in the making of the point that made it good. And one of these will do me more than just six bland statements, summary statements. Now, I think that's important because it ties up with a much more general... No, that's no good. Sorry. Oh dear. Right, I'll try a different one. A few years ago, I was asked to go to the West Indies to give a lecture on excellent teaching in conjunction with a presentation of awards for excellence in teaching in that university. And I made a list of what I thought were the qualities of excellent teachers, and I got on the email to colleagues who are useful to me by email, even though I may not meet them physically very often. And I said, look, I've been asked to give this lecture. These are the qualities that I think are important. Can you see any that I've missed out? Or can you see any that should be scored off my list? And I said, I just want some comments. What's to be deleted from the list or what's to be added to the list? And almost everyone that I emailed to didn't answer my question. They didn't do what I'd asked them to do. Instead, what they did was they told me one long anecdote about a teacher who, in their judgment, had been excellent, usually for them as a learner. And the teacher had usually been excellent because the teacher had enthused about their work as a student or as a pupil at school when it was good. The teacher had enthused validly about something that they were doing well. The teacher had told them what it was about that good performance which made it a good performance. The teacher had encouraged them perhaps to do even better next time, but had given them strongly positive feedback. It wasn't just one word feedback that said very good or excellent. It was an extended feedback that said you made a really good job of this because you did this, that and the next thing. And these people told me that this teacher had a great influence on them because most teachers only gave them really negative feedback in detail. They didn't really get positive feedback in detail. They just got patted on the back when it was positive feedback. And the teacher who told them why they had done something well, first of all, it was very useful to know what it was that had made that piece of work good. But secondly, it was reassuring to know that it actually was good and that they weren't just getting praise. And so I would say that one of the things that's enormously important in providing feedback to students is to give them feedback on something that they've done well by explaining to them what led you to make the judgment that that was indeed done well. And you can rely on the students to build on that and to extend on it, to be encouraged by it, to be motivated, and to remember it, like these people who sometimes, when they emailed back to me, were remembering a memory from 20, 30, 40 years before, and who've usually finished off their anecdote by saying, that person, that man, that woman, had more impact on me as a teacher than anyone else who'd ever taught me, because they gave me feedback about what I was doing well.
John entered academia after a successful career as a structural engineering designer. He developed pioneering academic programmes at Heriot Watt University, Edinburgh, where he was the first professor of engineering education in the UK. His research focused on student learning and the student's learning experience. His passion and interest in student-centred learning now spans over 40 years. During that time, he's placed an ever-increasing emphasis on preparing students to exercise stewardship over their life-wide development while at university and in lifelong learning thereafter. In retirement, he remains an active teacher at Edinburgh Napier University in undergraduate and postgraduate studies. In reviewing John's book on becoming an innovative teacher, Professor John Biggs wrote, "A delightful and unusual reflective journey. The whole book is driven by a cycle of questions, examples, strategies, and generalizations from the examples. In all, it's the clearest example of practice what you preach that I have seen." SEPTRA is fortunate indeed that John has offered to share his experience and wisdom with us through this series of podcasts, which reveal why he believes and does the things he does.